Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Catch it, shoot three on away from Rollins, who knocks it down from the right side as the buzzer sounds.
Butts Talk starts now.
116 to 107, the Knicks have swept the series from the Bucks for the first time in 12 years as they come away with a victory here tonight.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, the Bucks go 0-3 against the Knicks this season, and perhaps more troubling, they finished the regular season 0-10 against the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. Three teams that are very likely going to finish 1-2-3 in the Eastern Conference, and the Bucks winless against that trio. This, as you heard from Doc Rivers after the game, you know, certainly looked better. In terms of the three games the Bucks had played against the Knicks this season, the score was certainly the closest of the three, but it was a game the Knicks largely controlled after the opening quarter, and it was their role players that were the story in this one. The Bucks game planned to take Karl-Anthony Towns out of the game after what he had done in the first two matchups, where Karl-Anthony Towns was the best player on the floor. And one of the questions that we had were, how is this going to look with Kyle Kuzma in tow and some additional size that the Bucks have? What that gives you in terms of your versatility and availability to throw different looks at a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns and have another big that could take on OG Anunoby. And I think that started to pay off tonight, but it eventually started to break where the other guys started to get going. 31 points from OG Anunoby. Big game from Mikal Bridges that was largely based off the second quarter where he scored 15 points. And even without Jalen Brunson, the Knicks beat the Bucks by 9 tonight in the game. They led by as many as 19. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Certainly a disheartening loss, I'm sure, for many, many Bucks fans. And the part that makes this sting even more is the fact that the Detroit Pistons took down the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight. We pointed out many times the strength of schedule remaining for the Bucks, the Pacers, and the Pistons, and that the Bucks have the easiest schedule of the three of them. But as we've learned this season, ease of schedule, the team that you're playing, even who's on the floor, that doesn't really seem to matter. You still got to play those 48 minutes, and the Bucks are now in a dogfight for the final 9 games of the regular season. All of a sudden, they are a game and a half back of the Pistons for the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Not to get lost in the shuffle, a 30-point game from Giannis and a really, really strong game from Ryan Rollins tonight as well, with 20 points and a new career high, 5 rebounds and 4 assists from Rollins. So he would arguably be the brightest of the limited bright spots you had in this game. Now you just got to stop the bleeding if you're the Bucks and get back into the win column. And Sunday is suddenly a very big game for this team, because you feel like you do have the play-in tournament walled off. But stranger things have happened. And a win by the Hawks on Sunday is going to be worth 2. A loss by one of the teams they're chasing to get out of the play-in tournament, and a win by the Hawks, and it would also bring the margin down to 4 games. It would also guarantee the Hawks the tiebreaker, should they need it. So it's big in that sense of a win. Basically says we don't have to worry about this anymore. A loss makes it interesting as you continue to go forward without Damian Lillard, without Bobby Portis until April 8th, when he's eligible to make his return, and hopefully without Jericho Sims only for another week or so, as the team remains optimistic he'll be able to return either just before or in time for the postseason. But that's one of the other issues that we've seen relates to the Bucks' size, and it's really started to become problematic of late. We'll get into that discussion and the seeding discussion as well. But plenty of time to hear from you on tonight's show. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, the size discussion and what has stood out most the last couple of weeks. We'll get into that coming up next.
Pollock nearly turned it over, but it gets into the hands of Shamit and Landry Shamit. You want to say the curse word, you just can't do it. Not on this program. Landry Shamit, dang it, he knocks it down from the near side left, and the Knicks are out of the point.
Landry Shamit, another one of those role players that had some big moments tonight for the New York Knicks, who go 3-0 against the Bucks. Again, 0-10 now against the Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks to wrap up the regular season for this Bucks team, who was playing without Damian Lillard, playing without Bobby Portis, playing without Jericho Sims, but it's a Knicks team that was playing without any of their usual point guards. Jalen Brunson remains out. Miles McBride out as well. Campaign got injured in their most recent game against the Los Angeles Clippers, so they were down their first three point guards. And some of their role players, DeLon Wright hit 12 three-pointers his time here in Milwaukee this season, and DeLon Wright hit two of them early tonight, finished with 12 points off the bench. He had some big moments. 12 points in the starting lineup. Landry Shamit had 13 points off the bench. Josh Hart had a near triple-double. So you took Karl Anthony Towns out of this game tonight, but it was everybody around him that stepped up with a big performance, and the Knicks now 46-27, the Bucks 40-33. 855-616-1620. Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Marty in Pewaukee. You're up first.
Good evening. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm all right. So I don't know if you've ever seen the HBO show Succession, but there's a famous quote from one of the characters, and he tells his kid.
Is this the Logan Roy
in
line?
The show.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. I love you, but you are not serious people. And I'm sorry, Bucks fans. Like, I thought Rams was great. I'm trying to be positive, but this is just. I was at the game today. Both Prince and Lopez, while down, in the middle of runs, trying behind the back passes that were stolen.
Yeah.
You're losing. You're playing bad. And you have two different players that try kind of this just idiotic decision in a basketball game. And, you know, and then on the other end, you're watching, and I never played basketball. I played college soccer. But, like, we are fighting and taking bad shots, and they're hitting the lane easily with layups. And the only thing I can really think about is, obviously, we're just, this is who we are. And on a macro level, the part that really hurts, I guess, as a Bucks fan is, like, it just is going to rip away at Giannis's legacy as a player overall in the NBA. He's already had afterthought with Joker and Shea, and I can only see that gap getting wider. So it's depressing on two fronts, the results, but also what it might be doing to Giannis's legacy as a player in the NBA.
Yeah, those two plays that you referenced, I mean, to me, it's even simpler than that. On a night where you had whatever it was at the time, but it was in the double figures of turnovers and how big of an issue that was. I mean, you shot better than 50% and you lose, and you outshot the Knicks. That was the same story at halftime. You matched them in three-point shooting, but it was turnovers and the Knicks work on the offensive glass. So in a game like that, you have to be especially careful with the pass, that you have to know this is going to make it through traffic, or there's no traffic at all. This is going to get to the intended target. We can't risk another turnover, and that's what stands out most about those two passes.
But doesn't it seem like carelessness, like from a player? Like, I'm not a coach of a basketball team, but I feel like that's a side of coaching. Like, your players are that cavalier to make those decisions when not playing well. That seems like a bigger thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, in both instances, I get what they're going for there. Like, the Brook one especially stands out of just keep going towards the basket. You know, like, Brook Lopez on the night, and thanks for the call. Brook Lopez on the night took five shots, you know. We talked before the game about the big difference in this team without Damian Lillard is, you know, you feel like 1 through 5, you're pretty solid defensively. And I don't want that to be misinterpreted as Damian Lillard's terrible on defense. And, you know, I think Damian Lillard is an active defender. We've seen Damian Lillard come up with some big moments defensively. The size is the biggest thing that Damian Lillard is going to be up against on the defensive end of the floor. Last year, he was pretty adamant, look, I'm a better defender than people think and associate with my name, and I'm going to start to prove that. And I think we've seen a very active and engaged version of Dame. And again, he's had some moments defensively this season. But he's an undersized point guard, and that's where it comes down to teams saying, let's try to attack this guy. The big thing that the Bucks did to offset that this season is, you know, one of the other things we've talked about quite a bit, and that is limiting your liabilities, making sure it's not okay. If they can go after Damian Lillard for his size, there's not two other guys they can go at for different reasons. And you saw that a handful of times, a lot last year, that there were multiple defensive liabilities on the floor. They have limited that this season to the point where it's not. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say it makes you a better team to not have Damian Lillard, because, you know, we've continued to see issues with offense. And to be fair, we've seen offensive issues with this team with Damian Lillard on and off the floor, you know? So it's not as simple as, well, the offense, it just goes south when Dame isn't out there. But you would still like to have that piece out there as you're continuing to search for that consistency offensively. And frankly, you're going to need a half-court offense that you can rely on in the postseason. But you look at what the Bucks are going to be able to do. And I think, again, tonight, as you know, this was the closest of their games against the Knicks. There were some moments in this one where Doc himself said, I don't know if you'd say we let go of the rope, but we really started to lose control of this and wasn't what we were looking for in terms of execution. We were trying to go over the top on screens, and we went through this earlier today in the lead-up to this game to go under on screens. If you go over the top, it just opens the door for their bigs to start rolling to the basket, whether that's Karl Anthony Towns, whether it's OG Anunoby, you name it. And that's what we started to see in the second quarter, in parts of the third quarter, and then it was too far gone when he got to the fourth quarter. But unfortunately, we continue to sit in this spot where you feel good about the offense. I mean, the New York Knicks, this is one of the best offenses in the league. And I know Jalen Brunson's a big piece of that. It's another game the Knicks have played. I think this is their 11th without Jalen Brunson. But you still have Karl Anthony Towns, right? You still have Mikal Bridges. There's still pieces out there offensively. And the system that the Knicks run, it's a top 10 offense. 116 points, like, you at least held the Knicks to an okay game. It's your offense that just continues to struggle to find its footing. Yes, Damian Lillard being out is a piece of that. Yeah, Bobby Portis and his absence and not having that additional punch off the bench, that's a piece of it too. But we see this Bucks team just continue to hit these spots where they get stagnant offensively. And for whatever reason, that's where we start to see things pile up, like the turnovers. We've heard Doc Rivers preach this really from day one. You know, your offense has to put your defense in a better spot. And that, I think, is where you tip the cap to the Bucks' defense tonight. The offense did not put them in a good spot, and yet they still did everything, for the most part, they could to keep you in this one tonight. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So we mentioned Pistons won tonight. We'll run through what the standings look like once more. And I think more importantly, it doesn't matter who the Bucks play. And I don't mean that in terms of a bleak outlook, but we spent so much time focusing on, can they catch the Knicks? And then slowly that started to fade into the background. Can they hold off the Pacers? Now that started to fade, and you're all of a sudden 3 games back of the Indiana Pacers. Can they get the 5 seed and hold off the Detroit Pistons? Doesn't matter where the Bucks finish, especially if you know home court advantage is not going to be included with wherever the Bucks are seated here. Is there a marked difference between the Pistons, the Pacers, and the Knicks in who would be your first-round matchup? We'll start to take a look into that And those rebounding numbers that we mentioned earlier continues to be a troubling trend for the Bucks. We'll get into that next on Bucks Talk.
Just disappointed in how we're playing, and that's on me. I got to get this turnaround.
The words of Doc Rivers after his team comes up short tonight against the New York Knicks, 116-107, the final inside of Fiserv Forum. And now on to Sunday night when the Atlanta Hawks come to town, and suddenly a game that at the time when we started to project these things and look down the road at the Bucks' March and April schedule, I know I did. I think a lot of us just dismissed this Atlanta Hawks game. It's nowhere near as important as those two Detroit Pistons games, but this one suddenly takes on an added degree of importance because of the fact that, while you still like the numbers that are on your side, you already lost two of the first three games against Atlanta this season, and a win on Sunday guarantees the Hawks to win the tiebreaker and would make them just four games back of the Bucks. Now, the other thing is, we talk about Bobby Portis being out, still five more games that BP is going to miss with that suspension. Jericho Sims, we don't have a clear timeline on Jericho Sims' potential return. All we know is team remains very optimistic that Jericho Sims is going to be able to return for the playoffs and hopefully before the playoffs. But Giannis is going to be out any day now for a paternity leave, with Mariah due any day here. So there is likely going to be a brief little pocket here where you're going to have to navigate without Bobby Portis and Jericho Sims and Giannis. And, you know, that's what's been the biggest issue for this team, has been its rebounding. It felt like for a very, very brief period, it started to get in a really good spot for the Bucks, especially the addition of Jericho Sims. You're still the third best defensive rebounding team in the league season to date as a whole. But the eye test would tell you, man, that feels like that's much, much closer to the middle of the pack since you've been playing without Bobby Portis and the rest of the group. So if we go back 15 games, a couple of games into the mix of that suspension for BP, Bucks have still been doing a pretty good job on the defensive glass. Offensive rebounding, again, never a strength of the Bucks for the past couple of years. They're third worst over the course of those past 15 games. But it's really started to pocket, or bubble up, I should say, in this last week or so, when teams have just been beating the Bucks to the boards. You've gone in these last 10 games from the third best in the league to the eighth best in the league on the defensive glass. Again, offensive rebounding, you're dead last, just a 21% offensive rebounding rate. And with that, you've gone from a pretty good as a whole rebounding team because of the job you're doing on the defensive glass to the third worst in the league over the last 10 games. So it's noticeable what you're not getting with Bobby Portis, I think, twofold. He brings those rebounds in his work on the glass, both offensive and defensive. You're missing that. And when we talk about this offense, trying to find its consistencies as well, and especially at a time where you're playing without Damian Lillard, you know, knowing what Bobby Portis can do for you offensively to just have some consistent scoring and a threat. I mean, Bobby Portis is basically a double-double in games that he's appeared in. So you're missing that as well, and it's really just started to bubble up now, and unfortunately coming at the worst time for the Bucks when you're starting to see teams like the Pacers surge, the winning streak they went on after losing to the Bucks in that final matchup between these two teams, what, 2 weeks ago, a five-game win streak after that, snapped with that loss to the Lakers. Then they come back strong and start to build up another win streak here. So Pacers are really starting to get into that gear that you would love the Bucks to be in, and playing your best basketball, or at least making that a conversation going into the playoffs. And now, unfortunately, same can be said for the Detroit Pistons, who tonight took down the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Pistons are now a game and a half up on the Bucks for the five seed in the Eastern Conference. I have not checked what the numbers would show, and it's starting to get to the point where you probably don't want to check anymore. I would guess the numbers indicate the Bucks are still likely to finish with the 5 seed. But does that mean it's going to be the Pacers? Does that mean it's going to be the Knicks? I'll say this. Had you won tonight, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be the Knicks going down to the 4 seed. But it brings us to the larger point overall. We've talked about all three of those teams. I don't know that it matters who it is the Bucks play. And you can look at the 0-3 record against the Knicks and suggest that's crazy to even say. You were run off the floor in the first two games. This one, they didn't have Jalen Brunson. You didn't have Damian Lillard. Knicks still comfortably controlled this game, save for a couple of stretches. Doc Rivers himself said, look, they're 3-0 against us. And while this was our best performance, and there were some things that we liked that we saw in this one tonight, the fact of the matter is there was one consistent theme and a trend that built up throughout the course of those three games, and that was toughness. The Knicks were the tougher team than we were in each of those three games. And now after that's happened, they believe they are a tougher team than us. And that's something you have to change if you see that team again in the playoffs. Pacers, I think everybody wants to play Indiana because of the revenge factor and what happened last year. And you can point to the fact that, hey, the Bucks are 3-1 against the Pacers this season, and that one loss came on a four-point play by Tyrese Halliburton at the end of regulation. I just don't know that a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals a season ago, and I think we all diminished it and said, well, this is clearly this version of the Atlanta Hawks that we saw when the Bucks won the championship. You know, the Hawks took down the Knicks in the first round in a series that they were not supposed to win. They took down the 76ers, who were the one seed in a series they were definitely not supposed to win. And then they thought they were going to go to the NBA Finals when Giannis goes down with a knee injury in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. We didn't hear from the Hawks again after that. They had a disappointing follow-up season. A lot of changes started to come about. And now that team's trying to pull themselves out of it. I think everybody thought and assumed the Indiana Pacers, they're going to do the same thing the Atlanta Hawks did. And they're slowly going to drift back to the middle of the pack. They caught a favorable schedule. They caught favorable matchups in the playoffs in terms of injuries to teams. Again, they didn't face Giannis in the first round. Dame missed two games in that six-game series. Jalen Brunson goes down late in that series in the second round. OG Anunoby as well. And then after the season, too, the Boston Celtics sweep them. But those were competitive games. And Joe Mazzulla himself said, look, of all the opponents we faced in the playoffs, the Pacers were the toughest one that we had. You know, we lost games to the Mavs in the finals, to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the second round, to the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. Didn't lose a game to the Pacers, but that was our toughest opponent. And that team's starting to look like that once again. Tyrese Halliburton's starting to look a lot better. I think you trust some of their role players and what they saw last year. They're two-way players for the most part. It's a really good coach in Rick Carlisle, not to say that Tom Thibodeau isn't. But I don't know that I'm ready to just say, look, get to the 5 seed, play the Pacers, that's who you want. In spite of the 0-3 record against the Knicks, I still think this might be the best matchup that the Bucks have in the first round. In terms of what does it mean for your second round, again, you got to get through the first round to even have that conversation. But the point is, there's no easy matchup. There's no easy path. You know, this isn't the year the Bucks were the 1 seed in 2018, and you beat the Pistons. The last time the Pistons were in the playoffs, beat the Pistons in the first round, four-game sweep that you won by more than 100 points. Like, there are not those options anymore. Even the next year, when you beat the Orlando Magic in 5 games, that's not what we're dealing with in the playoffs. There's no more easy paths. You're going to have to take the approach of first-round series is going to be competitive. If you get through that, you're going to have to beat the Cavs and the Celtics. I think we spent too much time worrying over seeding, who you're going to play, what the path is. The fact of the matter is, if the Bucks don't get healthy and if the Bucks don't start to piece some things together offensively and steer this in a different direction here, it may not matter. And then that becomes a very, very interesting path forward for this team in a summer that, you know, we mentioned figures to be an interesting one because of the flexibility the Bucks granted themselves with those trades at the deadline, because of the fact that you've all of a sudden found some young pieces that may be here for the long haul, in the backcourt especially, and a guy like Ryan Rollins and how he continues to develop. I do want to get back to Ryan Rollins a bit on this show, but Ryan Rollins, Kevin Porter Jr., Jericho Sims, that all of a sudden you've started to find some youthful role players. It's just the rest of the pieces around them that you have to figure out, what are we doing here and how do we hit on these? 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The rebounding remains problematic for this team in the absence of Bobby Portis. That's been an issue. The offense as well. It's tough to really have full takeaways here, and Doc has talked about this too, of it just seems like whenever we feel like we're approaching the corner to turn, something else happens. The other shoe drops. A suspension to Bobby Portis. Damian Lillard going out with deep vein thrombosis, right? Giannis going down with a foot sprain. It's been one thing after another for this Bucks team, but you got to start to find a better identity, and you got to start to find some better shot selection here on the offensive end, because that's what's going to determine how far this group goes in the postseason. For all the talk of defense wins championships, we've seen a very good defense during this run, going all the way back to 2018, save for 1 year, which was last year. And even then, the defense got better. It was not as good as your defense has played consistently this season. You had elite defenses in 2018, 2020, and 2021 when you won the championship. Even 2022, your defense is what forced a Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. But the offense is the component that has evaded the Bucks all throughout the postseason run. And it's especially looming right now as something you got to get sorted out in time for the playoffs. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. We'll take a closer look at that Atlanta Hawks opponent, and also what's out there on the schedule for the Pacers and the Detroit Pistons. We'll get into those conversations coming up next.
Ryan Rollins elevates, and he sinks the baseline jumper. He's got a career-high 20 points tonight. Back-to-back games that have seen Ryan Rollins notch career highs.
Solid game tonight from Ryan Rollins, a career-high 20 points, 12 at the half, which also matched his career best for points scored in a half from Ryan Rollins. So, you know, he continues to really be a marvel for this team, and there are some out there that will be quick to tell you, look, we saw this from Ryan Rollins a season ago and really believed in him. But Ryan Rollins has really taken it to a whole nother level here of late, and it makes things interesting as you feel in a much better spot this year than last year when you were navigating games without Damian Lillard. But between Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr., you found something there with those two guys, and it does seem like, I still don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, that there is this overlap where one game it's a Ryan Rollins game, the next game it's a Kevin Porter Jr. game. So you haven't really had any of those games where neither of the two have been effective and impactful. But I think Ryan Rollins, what he brings defensively, when we go back to that conversation we had before about the defense, and, you know, I hesitate to call it the positive, but if there is one thing that you can say, okay, well, we at least feel good about this in the absence of Damian Lillard, it's the five-man grouping you're going to put out there on the floor defensively, and Ryan Rollins is a big piece of that. His ball pressure availability, his ball pressure ability, his length and wingspan. You know, there was that sequence where Ryan Rollins gets back in transition, blocks Josh Hart at the rim, and then holds his own and forces, I think it was OG Anunoby, to really work to eventually get up and over Ryan Rollins for a basket when you had two-on-one numbers there for the Knicks. That changes things, and especially if this is your first-round matchup, the Bucks and the New York Knicks, you're going to have to figure out, how do we contend with Jalen Brunson? A guy like Ryan Rollins, not that he can shut him down. I think there's one fear or one thing to be very cautious with and cognizant of in a playoff series, and that is whether or not you think it is the dark art of grifting for fouls or you think it's just efficient offense. It's something that Jalen Brunson does well and knows how to get those calls and get you with his head fakes and pump fakes and just get to his spot, get you leaning, and entice that contact and get the foul call. That is something that young players especially are susceptible to, especially when it's your first crack at a postseason. But it's why I keep going back to, look, I get the 0-3 record. I get there were competitive moments in this game, but for the most part, these games have not been competitive. I still have to wonder if the Bucks are, in terms of their personnel and matchups, in a better spot against the Knicks than they would be against a team that I know they went 3-1 against in the Indiana Pacers. You can point to the 0-3 record. I would counter that with, go back to last year. In the first round series between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns, Timberwolves lost a game to the Suns. I believe it was the final game of the regular season. That was a very important one that gave the Timberwolves, with a win, an opportunity to get the one seed. They did not get it. They lose, convincingly, and they finish third. They get that same Suns team in the first round of the playoffs. They did not win any games against the Phoenix Suns a season ago. And everybody came into that series and said, Phoenix Suns are going to win this series. Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. They ran through the T-Wolves in the regular season, and the Minnesota Timberwolves swept them. Now, am I saying the Bucks are going to sweep the Knicks? No. But there's a lot of variables that go into it, right? It's not always the regular season tells us this, therefore that is fact and that's what's going to happen. That's the predictor in the playoffs. Who knows? I still think you have to have the outlook that you're not going to have Damian Lillard in the playoffs. But who knows? We've heard more reporting that, hey, the team is optimistic and hopeful. He's going to be back at some point this season. That it was something they caught early, they've been dealing with, and they feel pretty confident you're going to get Damian Lillard back at some point this season. But the point is, you got to go in with the approach you're not going to have him. And what you have to rely on is your defense to junk up games, and you got to hit threes. Ryan Rollins can give you both of those. The important parts are going to be guys like Gary Trent Jr., who's been shooting very, very well of late, to continue that type of shooting. A.J. Green, another guy that we saw break out of, what, a 10-game shooting funk with a nice game in the loss to Denver against the Nuggets. You know, said before this game, what you can't see tonight from A.J., you want him to try to build on this. It doesn't have to be another game where A.J. Green goes 5 of 8 or even 4 of 8, but you can't have like an 0 for 2 or an 0 for 3 or 1 for 4 type of game. You need A.J. to take a step to start to build on this, and I think he did that tonight. 3 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 5 on threes. I still think that 5 number has to be bigger in a game where there's no Damian Lillard. Gary Trent Jr. took 8 threes. Ideally, I would love to see that number stay the same, and I'd love to see A.J. Green move closer to that number. Torian Prince took 4 threes. You're going to need Torian Prince, one of the best corner three-point shooters in the league, to take more threes. That's the big thing that stands out here is, look, we're going to have to hit threes. You got Giannis, you need spacing, but you need to take those shots. It's not a matter of missing the threes. And, hey, open looks, those conversations that we had 2 weeks ago, they're getting good looks. They're just not making them. We have now seen the volume of three-point attempts gradually start to decline for this Bucks team of late, and that is something that is going to have to change moving into the playoffs because of the absence of Damian Lillard and how you're going to have to junk up the game. Defense, transition, and threes. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We will take a look at those schedules for the Pacers, the Pistons, what the latest numbers suggest as well. But again, I think a lot of us, you blinked and you looked up and all of a sudden see, holy cow, the Detroit Pistons are now in fifth, a game and a half up on the Bucks, who have just been in a slide now, losing 8 of their last 12 games. with this result tonight. 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited talk and text line. The schedule for the Pistons and Pacers and what the latest projections say about the Eastern Conference standings. We'll get into that and our questions of the night after this on Bucks Talk. Tonight against the New York Knicks and finished the regular season 0-3 against the Knicks, 0-10 against the Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks. So with that, the Detroit Pistons won tonight, taking down the Cleveland Cavaliers to get to 42 wins. They are now guaranteed their first winning season since 2016. And for the Pistons, the remaining schedule that they have, Sunday night in Minnesota against the Timberwolves, 6 o'clock tip, so they'll be playing simultaneously with the Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks. Then Wednesday, after 2 days off, they go to Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. They have the Toronto Raptors on the road Friday, April 4th, and then they have a 4-game homestand to lead into the final game of the season, which is in Milwaukee against the Bucks. That 4-game homestand, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Sacramento Kings, the New York Knicks, the Bucks, and then that road game in Milwaukee. So it is the most challenging of all the schedules left between especially the Bucks, the Pacers, and the Pistons. But it really boils down to, you get the sense, those final two games. Friday, April 11th in Detroit, and Sunday, April 13th in Milwaukee. That Knicks game being where it is, too, Thursday, April 10th, that is game number 80 in the regular season. And what we just went through, unless the Knicks stumble a couple of more times here and the Pacers just continue to be on this heater, Knicks are probably going to have the 3 seed wrapped up by then. So you do wonder how that game is going to be approached. And speaking of those scenarios, the Pacers' remaining schedule. Tomorrow night in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. Then they have a 3-game homestand with the Sacramento Kings, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Utah Jazz. Then they go to Denver to take on the Nuggets. And then they have a very interesting close because they have the Washington Wizards at home on Tuesday, April 8th. Their final 3 games, two against the Cavs, 1 against the Magic. Cleveland Cavaliers are very likely going to have the 1 seed wrapped up by those final 2 matchups. So again, similar to what we said with the Knicks, it may be the same story here with the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you really have to take advantage of the here and now if you're the Bucks. These next 2 games on the homestand, Sunday night against the Atlanta Hawks, and then Tuesday, the return of Mike Budenholzer to Milwaukee because of the immediate schedule that these teams have. The Oklahoma City Thunder Saturday night for the Indiana Pacers, the Timberwolves and Thunder in the next 2 games for the Pistons. These next 2 games for the Bucks are hypercritical if you want to climb out of that 6th spot in the Eastern Conference. Disappointing nights across the board, but I would assume it's a rather upbeat mood in the chat section, Matt. What do we have for questions?
For sure. Well, I'll start with a question here regarding the Knicks specifically, and you can hear this from Doc Rivers' post-game press conference.
We had a concerted effort of taking Towns out. That part worked. The problem with what we were doing, I thought, got Bridges loose a little bit. So
obviously the matchup with the Knicks has not gone well for the Bucks. Assuming full health, and let's say hypothetically they do match up in the first round, I know you said you overall thought the defense was solid tonight, but is there anything specifically on the defensive end you would hone in on for the Bucks?
Well, I mean, I think Doc Rivers told us after the game and that how they navigated some of those screens. And look, the big thing is I would have loved, and I'd feel a lot more confident in saying I don't really mind the matchup with the Knicks if we had seen Jalen Brunson tonight to get a better view. And frankly, look, you would love, we'll take Dame out of it because of the uncertainty of what he's dealing with. You would have loved at least 1 game to have the Bucks post-trade deadline with the new pieces, Bobby Portis, Jericho Sims, all of those guys available, against the Knicks with Jalen Brunson just to see, okay, how does this match up? Because that's going to change a lot of things when you get into a postseason series. The big point of me saying that is just I think they have more personnel for those matchups. And again, if Dame is not going to be available in that series and it's the Knicks that you draw, you're going to miss a lot offensively, right? It goes without saying, but if you have Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. and those are the guys that you're saying start the game, take Jalen Brunson, we'll scheme some other ways around it, but we at least feel like we got good length and good defensive ability out there on Jalen Brunson. And again, Kyle Kuzma and Giannis and Torian Prince and guys that you can throw out there on players like a Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby and Karl Anthony Towns. Like, in that sense, you're in a much better spot than you were in January and December when those first two games were played.
My next one is a quick hitter. Trivia question. Who led the game tonight in plus minus?
For the Bucks, are you saying, or who led?
Nope, led the game.
Was it Landry Shamet?
Nope.
Was it DeLon Wright?
It's a name that came up on our last show.
A name that? Oh, come on! It's not. Is it a guy that played in this building quite a bit?
Tyler Kolek, plus 18 in his first game at Fiserv Forum. Second straight game. He had, what, 5 assists tonight, 7 assists in his last game, yeah. Less than 20 minutes? He's picking up some slack without Brunson, I'm just saying.
5 assists and 5 points for Tyler Kolek. Look, like we said.
That was just for my Marquette fans.
Yeah.
You
just got to get back in the win column. And I am not fearful of the Atlanta Hawks catching the Bucks for the sixth seed. I think we can all relax on that. It's not great optics. It's not the way you want to be going into the postseason. But I think you're safe there. Now, granted, I don't know that it changes, but it at least makes things more interesting if you lose that game on Sunday. So that's why Sunday, just get back in the win column and slam the door shut on the Atlanta Hawks to keep your focus there. Maybe you'll get help from teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder and the schedule that the Pistons and Pacers have. But in the meantime, you just got to start taking care of business and winning games. Sunday night, the Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks, 6 o'clock tip. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these stations. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.